the final whistle. What a great way for Liverpool to respond to Tuesday night. The perfect response. Rio Engamoa, a shining light for Liverpool tonight. He was absolutely outstanding. Liverpool into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, winning by 3-1. Yeah, I was disappointed to concede one near the end, but overall, Liverpool were full value. In the first half, Engamoa was so exciting every time he got the ball. He nearly scored. But in the second half, we started brilliantly. Two quick fire goals. First of all, really good run by Mohamed Salah. Curtis Jones touched it to Andy Robertson just outside the box. Took a touch. What a finish, bottom corner for the opener. 2 minutes later, great move. Robertson drilled it across goal. Mohamed Salah scored his second in a week. It needed a VAR intervention, the goal stood. Then Curtis Jones scored a wonderful individual goal. Wang Hee-chan scored late on for Wolves. Liverpool could have scored easily more than three, but we're into the quarterfinals. Good night at Molineux. Contrast to Tuesday night, undoubtedly. Wolves 1, Liverpool 3.
The Reds lifted themselves after their midweek disappointment to progress to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup with that 3-1 win over Wolves at Molineux. In this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Andy Robertson. I'm Becky Davis, and I was joined in the studio by Jason McAteer and David Thompson to discuss the game. Plus, we've also got contributions from our fan panel, Alex Gilder-Trotz, David Eason and Stephen Curley from the official Liverpool Supporters Club up in Glasgow. Not often we get Friday night football, Tomo, but that turned out to be quite the treat, specifically in the second half. First one a little bit slow, but second half it just exploded into life, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, I'm really pleased for the gaffer. It was a really good performance in the end, and the lads really wanted more. You know, it could have been 4 or 5. And so pleased for young Rio. I thought he was fabulous tonight. And even Vage and Robbo were superb. So, yeah, it was a good performance and a good Friday night performance.
It was. Winning is always the main objective, but they got that win with a fair bit about them in that second half as well, Joe. So there's lots of good stuff in that performance.
Yeah, really good second half, 45 minutes. First half was a bit reminiscent of the other night, wasn't it? And I thought, oh, here we go again. For all the changes in personnel, you know, they saved up the same, I'd have to say, disappointment, rubbish.
I think they started a little bit quicker.
They
moving
did start
it around
quicker.
A little bit quicker, I thought, in the opening stages at least.
Yeah, there was a bit of purpose to the passing and the movement, and you're right, it was quicker. Worked the way through the lines a little bit better, but still, you know, to create something was a little bit poor, to be honest. Had the header gone in and not been offside, yeah, you know, it might have changed the complexion of the game in the 45 minutes, but it wasn't to be. And then we came out second half, again, like the first half, first 10 minutes, you know, they were really at it, moved the ball quick, but were rewarded for it this time by, you know, a little spell there of 5 minutes where Robbo just, you know, he goal scorer and then turned provider, and yeah, it was made up for him.
How good was he tonight overall, though? I think his all-round performance was excellent, Tommy.
Yeah, I thought he was superb, and I think obviously young Rio having Robbo behind him was giving the confidence to go forward. Even in the first half, I know we didn't create clear-cut opportunities, but Rio was so dangerous. He was getting crosses into the box, whether they, you know, going to the back post or whatever, but they were doubling up on him, they were trying to get physical with him. I thought it was a really superb performance from the left-hand side, particularly in the first half.
It's not too often we've kind of been able to almost relax and enjoy the closing stages of games this season, Jace, but it felt like tonight, certainly after that second goal went in, it total control, really.
You could see it from the Wolves players. It was like someone had pulled the plug on it and the energy had just gone out of them. Yeah. They kind of ran out of ideas. But, you know, we were critical of Liverpool, certainly when they got back into it on Tuesday night, how they mismanaged the game. Tonight was the total opposite. You know, they get themselves in front, they get themselves the second goal. Wolves never really offered anything, really, but Liverpool controlled the tempo, they controlled the ball, the movement was good. You know, they weren't taking too many opportunities, but there was a concentration when they were in possession, which is sometimes critical of Liverpool. When they're in possession, they are vulnerable sometimes and they do get caught with a quick break. But tonight, you just felt it, they were in control. Disappointing they conceded. You know, it would have been nice to have taken away a clean sheet, but again, it was a ball over the top, done for pace, and it was a good finish, to be fair. But in saying that, a clean sheet would have been nice, but we don't want to be too critical. We just take the positives.
It's a good point, that, though, about game management, Tomo, because we're always told 2-0 is the most dangerous scoreline in football, and game management has been a bit of a sore point at times this season, and Liverpool managed those closing stages impeccably, really, you can't argue.
Yeah, they did. They got the confidence, and I think, obviously, you know, the performance was quality in the second half. That does give them the confidence. Yeah, they will be disappointed. Ali will be disappointed he's not got his clean sheet bonus today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of the first half, you say you felt like it was a carbon copy of Tuesday. We said maybe it was a little bit better. I mean, still getting opportunities. Six corners in the first 25 minutes, but not too much of an end product from any of those, but still felt in control, David, despite the lack of an actual goal and a breakthrough.
Yeah, but we still looked a threat off them. I think the opportunity where the ball, if Macker hadn't had his eyes closed in the first half when it hit him in the face, I think if he gets that flick on, then there's a cue at the back post. But I think we mixed it up well as well today, you know, with a couple of short corners, and it's nice to see that we're thinking about it as well. You know, we're not being so predictable. But it was also nice to see that Jason mentioned it before, the tempo of the passing. There was a lot of one-touch movements and interplay around the box. And it was nice to see, and that's how you open up these low blocks. You've got to be persistent, and you've got to change gears, and you know, got to make it a real true test of stamina. And I thought we did that tonight. They looked tired. They looked, you know, they were on the last legs. Yeah.
Yeah. What I would say about the first half, I know we can be critical of Liverpool, and maybe the expectation is quite high, and we want to see that goal in the first half, and we want to relax a little bit, and we want them to take control. But sometimes you've got to give credit to the opposition. Listen, Wolves got a lot of, and Tom touched on it there, you know, second half, when Liverpool got the second, you felt the energy, it just gone out of Wolves. Mm. They put a lot of work into that first half, defending, moving the ball, but they didn't create hardly anything themselves. Because I think sometimes, listen, where they are vulnerable, but they want to stay in the game as long as they can. They did it the other night. You know, they stayed in the game as long as they can. They got themselves in front. They give away a sloppy goal to Liverpool. They give away possession. Salah punished them. But then it opened up, didn't it? And it's kind of like, that was a bit of a carbon copy of the Villa performance. You know, they stayed in it. They stayed in it. They stayed in it. Last 20 minutes, it become a very open game. Could have gone either way, to be honest. But Wolves come out on top in both games. You know, tonight's tactics would have been the same, stay in it as long as you can. That means not conceding in the 41st, 45 minutes. That's saying, let's keep it for the 20 minutes when it opens up and we'll see if we can get another winner. So Liverpool, you know, for all the knocking on the door that they did, which wasn't a great deal, you know, you've got to give credit to Wolves for the way they defended.
Yeah, and in terms of looking ahead as well, we'll speak more about Galatasaray in depth a little bit later on in the show, David, but it does kind of kickstart that momentum for what is, of course, a massive game on Tuesday.
Oh, it's a huge game, and yeah, we'll be watching the Galatasaray game on Saturday against Besiktas, see if they get a few injuries in that one, but yeah, it's a huge game. And I'm actually, you know, I thought the performances tonight from Robbo and young Rio, nice to see that the gaffer pulled him off, because he's obviously having considerations whether he starts the game on is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday,
Galatasaray.
I thought his performance today was superb. For a 17-year-old kid, I thought he glided past people, he got shots on target, he got crosses into the box. I thought he looked really strong at times, so... Yeah, I was pleased. I could see him tied in a little bit, and I was pleased when the gaffer brought him off. But yeah, we were really strong down that left-hand side today, and I thought it was real quality.
Yeah, we'll definitely go into more depth on Rio shortly, but let's bring in our fan panel and get their reaction to the result first of all. Alex, I'll come to yourself firstly. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, good to see you all in the studio again. It's actually my first time being on here after a game in which we've won.
Maybe you're the lucky charm.
Well, third time's a charm. Listen, big confidence booster. If you ask the lads where they wouldn't want to play after losing that game on Tuesday, it would have been Molineux, and it would have been the exact same team. And Wolves did copy and paste that performance in the first half. They limited us. I agree with Jace. You know, you've got to credit them for that. It was, you know, not really littered with open chances for Liverpool, a few crack shots at goal. But okay, you grow into the game, and you know, you take your chances when they come. And I think the three goals that Liverpool did score, really high quality. The assist for Robbo minutes after, you know, he scores a John Arnautovic-esque type finish. You know, what a 5 minutes for him. And then, you know, the third goal, really positive, balanced, curved finish from Jones. So annoyed not to get a clean sheet. It is another goal that is conceded in injury time for Liverpool, so that's something that has to be cut out going into Europe. But overall, Second half really good, first half a little bit iffy, but once the changes came on, Liverpool took total control of it.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much. Stephen, I'll come to yourself. I imagine you share a lot of Alex's thoughts there. Pleased with tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Tuesday night was Liverpool's season in a microcosm, actually. A lot of effort, a lot of huffing, a lot of puffing, and very little end product. Poor game management in the last 10 minutes. And I think it was very good and positive to see that, you know, lessons had been learned tonight. We controlled without having a penetrating force for the first 45, and I thought we started the second 45 very, very well. I absolutely made up for Andy Robertson tonight. I think he's been a model professional this season, actually. He's, you know, been forced to spend a lot of time on the bench, and when he's taken the chances, he's taken them very well. And tonight, I thought he was absolutely exemplary. The strike was first class, very reminiscent of a strike for Scotland against Cyprus 6 or 7 years ago. I thought his assist was fantastic. I also thought Curtis Jones had a great game as well, and I thought he, you know, thoroughly deserved the finish for the third as well. But just like Alex saying, you know, you think you're cruising, you think everything's hunky-dory, and then a momentary lapse in concentration, and then all of a sudden Wolves get a goal back. We really, really, really need to cut that out.
Okay, thanks very much, Stephen. David, final word for this section goes to yourself. Lots to like about tonight, and specifically that second half. What were your big positives?
Yeah, I think everybody had positives throughout the game, really. I think there were some players who maybe drifted in and out. I don't think Mo had the greatest first half, but he gets his goal and he's got a smile on his face at the end. And I think that's, everyone can take something from this game, particularly Rio. What a great 68 minutes that was. And I just think, particularly through the middle, I know we got done through the middle at the end, but I thought McAllister had a really good game just anticipating things in the midfield and allowed Curtis to do his work, and Szoboszlai at right back, you know, appearing up on the left wing late on, and the rest of the team kind of flowed with it. You'd hope you keep a clean sheet off the back of that, but at the same time, that maybe keeps people a bit honest going into the next game and just knowing there's still lots to work on here. It's not all done and dusted, but the rest of the draw, I know we're the first game out this weekend, but I think there's some decent teams left in this FA Cup, but I think this is a cup that's ready to be gone and won, really. And with someone, what I did like was that you brought on players at the end where you actually looked at the bench and said, right, we've got Verts and Frimpong to bring on, and we've got legs here and we can control the game from here. And the way that the young lad on the left hand side played, I mean, it's just like a young David Thompson coming on, wasn't he? I mean,
that. Carbon copy, eh?
No, he stayed on the pitch. He never got sent off.
Let's have a chat about Rio, because, I mean, he, aside from the goals and the scoreline, I think, Tommy, you've touched on him already, but just mesmerising at times to watch, isn't he?
It was mesmerising, and you know, me and Steve, all we kept talking about in the first half was Rio, 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 and then, it was a breath of fresh air. I think there was real quality there. At times, obviously, you had Cody in the box, but he was going across the front post when it was going to the back post, and he was at the back post when it was going across the front post. So, yeah, I think it's just getting that little bit of coordination. But, yeah, it was a joy to watch him this evening. Really was a joy to watch him. And I know the cameraman enjoyed his performance, you know, towards the end of the game. They zoomed in there. So I don't know if he got man of the match, even if it was only 68 minutes, but he was a standout performance today.
Yeah, we've got his touch map here, actually, for Rio Engamoa over the course of the evening, and a pretty industrious night for him, Jace, down that left-hand side. He did get man of the match, by the way, just to clarify. But it felt like at times that the Wolves' defence just didn't really know what to do with him and how to contain him.
Yeah, we spoke about him at length at the build-up of the show, didn't we? And, you know, we addressed his qualities on the ball. Listen, he's still got a lot to learn off the ball, but that will come with experience. Like David said, you know, he's still only 17. It's, you know, he's in and around the first team. He probably hasn't had as much game time as possibly what we thought, or he probably would have thought. Maybe because that's the season that we're kind of having. But tonight, you know, while he was in possession of the ball, he was a threat. And they're always great, these players, for a get-out, aren't they, when you need to relieve pressure, or if you can get him in a one-on-one situation, you feel something will be created. And that's what he did. It was a step up for him tonight to start the game. We've seen how much an impact he makes coming on. And you rightly made the point, when you come on 70 minutes, 80 minutes, you know, there's a lot of energy been expelled by teams, by individuals, and he gets his opportunity to get a tired legs. Yeah. Tonight it was, you know, it was a learning part of the of his journey, really, a part of the learning curve, is to come on and start a game when everything is fresh, when they're getting a lot of men behind the ball, when they're asking different questions. And he rose to that challenge as well. You know, when he got on the ball in certain areas, it would have been easier for him to try and impress, isn't it? When you're new and you're fresh and you're exciting, you want to impress, and sometimes you can overdo it. But I highlighted the fact he's very good at his decision making.
Very mature performance today. You know, even when they doubled up on him, you know, there's times where you expect him to try to beat him, but no, he took the sensible option. He rolled it back to Robbo, and you go round again. So it was a very mature performance from him.
Yeah, you're right saying that, because obviously he's probably sat there thinking he doesn't really know when his next start will be. It could be quite some distance away from now, and having that sort of maturity, I suppose, is the right word to approach it in the way that he did was really important.
I think he's been handled really well, to be honest. I think, you know, I listened to the manager's press conference the other week, and he's under pressure at the minute, because that left hand side, you know, Gapo's taking some criticism, and it's an opportunity because of maybe some of the performances. We want a lift in performances, we want something a bit more exciting than kind of what we're seeing. So he's the ideal player to come in and do that. But the manager's sticking firm by his decision making and how he's kind of implementing him into the team, you know, his journey, how he's looking after him. And I agree, you know, sometimes you can throw them in, it can all be a little bit too much. You know, he seems a level-headed. I don't know too much about him personally, but he seems level-headed.
Like a lovely kid.
You don't want to give him too much too soon.
Yeah.
You know, you drip feed him in, you keep him hungry, you keep him in the first team squad for training. He's grown in confidence being around them, being around the first team squad. What's demanded of him, you know, out of sight. You know, he's not getting scrutinised in the papers, social media. He's still a baby. You know, he's still learning his way.
He's still growing.
He's still growing, and he's still growing.
You've got to look after
him. Still plays for the 21s on some weekends. Sometimes he plays for a few minutes for the first team, and then he'll play
Jay Spearing
for the 21s.
But Jay Spearing still plays for the 21s, doesn't he?
that's true.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I've got, you know, it's a big bug, bear in mind, since the academies came around, you know, the demise of reserve team football.
Yeah.
I mean, Tomo came through it more than me, because I was late into the game. But it was valuable, wasn't it, in your learning curve, playing reserve team football. You play against first team players coming back, players who aren't playing in the first team. You'd also play against decent crowds. But there's also, you know, winning the Pontins League, wasn't it, to win that. And then you're not too far away from the first team. You know, the gap, I think now, is it's a big gap between 21s. And first team football, and
there's a lot of stress on the body at that age as well. You've got to look after the kids. I think, you know, particularly the superstars, when it's easy to put them into man's football or men's football straight away, and everybody wants to see him. And that performance tonight, all the fans will be crying out to see more of him. But you know, we don't want another Michael Owen situation where you're burning these players out. You've got to look after them now, particularly while they're still growing and developing.
Okay, let's head back to our fan panel and have a quick chat with them. Alex, I'm sure you're amongst the millions, really, of Liverpool fans who've been clamouring to see a little bit more of Rio Engamo. You got that tonight. What did you make of him?
Yeah, I was at his debut against Accrington Stanley last year, and then saw him quite close up in pre-season in Hong Kong. So I've actually seen his... I know he physically is still growing right now, but you almost see it in real time. He looks a bit stronger on the ball. He can take a kind of a knock and then just bounce back up. I mean, he's so unpredictable. He can go right or left. How do you actually stop him? I mean, you know, Maka played fullback sometimes for Liverpool. How do you stop him, knowing that he can drop the shoulder, go right, drop the shoulder, go left? His balance is unbelievable. Very similar to when Sterling kind of came on the scene. You were thinking, how do you get the ball off this kid? I mean, I wouldn't even like to see what he does to some of our defenders in training. Maybe I don't want to see that, but he's just so refreshing and direct and to the point that you have to give this kid minutes. Now, there's a debate, isn't there? I think Tomo and Maka just touched on it. how often do you play him? How many minutes do you give him? Is he being managed well? And I think, yeah, you know, the Michael Owens of this world, you'd argue that they burnt out at 21. But I think he has actually been managed quite well. I think, I mean, I was at the Newcastle game, and I think the thought after that was, right, we're going to see a lot of this kid. This is going to be his breakthrough. And it is, but we've still got so much more to come with Rio. That's the exciting thing. But if he's doing that to Premier League defenders, you know, embarrassing them, just imagine how good he can be in 2 to 3 years if he's managed right.
Yeah. You fancy your chances of stopping Rio, Jace?
Well, back in the 90s, I would have kicked him 6 foot in the air and tell him if he does it again, yeah, exactly. I'll kick him 6 foot in the air again. But and maybe got a telling off on the refs. But now it would have been a straight red card. Yeah, I think that is a really good way to describe how he plays. Is unpredictable. There's nothing worse for a fullback when you've got an unpredictable winger. If you know, I'm not going to be too harsh, but Cody's quite predictable because he's not left-footed, he's right-footed. He comes inside, pulls the trigger. You show Cody inside, he'll take that route. You know, he doesn't want to go down the outside. Rio Ngamoa wants to go down the outside but can come on the inside. Yeah. But what frightens me is, and we were talking about, is mature decision-making. You know, sometimes you're saying to him, come on, take me on. And he realises it's not there, you're not there to be taken on. Yeah. So he'll stop and he'll roll it back. You can't defend that cross then. Yeah. You know, he's picking the right decision all the time. He's a very, very mature winger. And it's nice, refreshing to say winger.
Yeah. Stephen, I'll get your thoughts on him. What is it about Rio that impresses you the most? Is it that unpredictable element the lads are speaking about there?
I think the two words that have been used so far are probably correct. I think it's the unpredictability, but the matureness that he's bringing to the performances so far. I think in all competitions, game time, that might have been his 17th or 18th appearance tonight, which I think is quite a substantial amount of appearances, although the game time might not reflect that. And I think he... I don't know, maybe sometimes we have been a little bit cautious with him at times, but I thought, you know, he's been crying out for an opportunity and he grasped it with both hands tonight. I thought that was absolutely terrific. He got a little bit of the you know, the rough treatment in the first, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes of the match, and it didn't shake him off. I like the directness. Certainly our supporters club have been crying out to see him, and I know that we'll be very happy as a club tonight with the 70 minutes that he put on. It's what we do next that I think is the interesting thing. You know, has he done enough to start against Galatasaray midweek? Picking up on, you know, what you guys have said in the studio, I think there is a little bit of a predictability about Cody. And I think sometimes you get the impression that Rio does more maybe in the 5, 10, 15 minute cameos than the starter has done in the 60, 70 minutes beforehand. I'd like to see him get some more game time now. I think it can only benefit his development if it's handled correctly.
Yeah, I mean, he's in, of course, the best place for his development, David Easton, but just in terms of where you stand on how much more you would like to see of him at this stage, because it's that constant balance of trying to protect him. He's still only 17, as we say, he doesn't turn 18 until August, Rio, but also giving him that platform to shine at the same time.
Exactly, and we've just not had the opportunities this season to put him on for the last 20 or even start him anywhere in particular after that. I think what I love about him, not just the idea that he can go left and right, and he seems to be to have the same kind of power on his shot or his cross, whichever way he goes, and that's incredible. As Stephen said there, the ability to get up and just go again, he will get kicked up in the air, but Jason, he's coming straight back at you. He's going to just keep going and keep going. And I love the attitude. He didn't let his head drop at all. He was enjoying the battle. And when you see a player enjoying the fierceness of it all, it's a massive step up to Premier League, you know, FA Cup football. It's, you know, it's a Premier League side. And I think compared to what we saw against Accrington Stanley last season, what a different player we've seen in those 17, 18 appearances. I'd just like to ask the lads, really, I mean, if you're a senior pro on the pitch, are you talking to him all the way through this kind of game? I know late on, I think Virg was just telling him to just run, get the ball and run at the fullback. And that was mentioned in commentary. It's just the idea that what you do when you've got this lad on the left. And by the way, there's Mohamed Salah on the right hand side, but we're not passing to him tonight because the left winger he's doing all the business.
Is that talking to him as a teammate or talking to him as an opponent? Either way, I'd be talking to him, whether it was with him or against him, to be honest. But they would be slightly different context to what we'll be saying. I was just thinking there, how would I play? My philosophy was, and we laugh and joke about kicking players, you let them know that they're in a fight, you let them know they're in a battle and you're not going to be a walkover. But I always used to play a cat and mouse game with my wingers. I'd always say to them, how are you going to mark me? Like, if I end up putting a ball in or scoring a goal or putting a cross in and you score from me, you're going to, you know, it's on you because you've let me go. So I'd always play, what are you going to do? Like, I'd be like the other side of him asking questions. And that's the question of Rio Engamo. It's not when he's got on the ball, because I don't think there's really too many questions to answer because we've answered them tonight. And I think his performances are answered. Yeah. It's off the ball. And I think that's why we probably haven't seen him as much as probably we'd expect, because the manager, first of all, has to protect his own position. Performances have been scrutinised this season. And listen, there's no getting away that, you know, we're reigning champions and we've been off it this season. But there's a lot of variables go into that and we've spoke about it. The manager has to protect his team and where he is. And that is not putting a 17-year-old kid in the team. That's putting a player in you trust, or picking a team that you trust. And that will be Cody Gakpo, or that might be another senior player who plays on that left. There's a time and a place to put a 17-year-old in. And that'll come. And listen, the greatest thing for Liverpool, and we're both, you know, we've been working hard in an environment with sporting directors and stuff, it's going to save you 80 million quid.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. You know, if you look at the bigger picture and the strategy, he's going to save you 80 million quid, this kid. You know, so fair play to the academy and fair play to who he's been handled, but there's plenty of time to see him.
He is a very, very special talent indeed, isn't he, Rio Engamoa? Okay, we are hopefully getting some reaction from the Liverpool dressing room very soon. But first, we're heading down to Molineux to get the thoughts of David James. He is with Rob Jones.
The travelling Liverpool supporters, which was a healthy contingent, go home a lot happier than they did 3 days ago, as does David James, who has watched that, and that's a bit more like it.
Yeah, I think the first half, I was wondering whether it was going to be the 10-minute game that Wolves effectively got a lot of positives from on Tuesday, but it turned into Liverpool's favour. I mean, that start of the second half was fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful goal by Andy Robertson there, outside of left foot, and followed up 2 minutes later with a wonderful assist, and I think that was pretty much game dead. Overall, I think Arna and the team will be delighted with tonight's performance.
As you said, a goal and assist and plenty of life in the old boy yet.
He's a youngster.
Yeah. Compared to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. No, I just thought the first half was much better than what we saw on Tuesday. There's a lot of shots, a lot of saves for Johnson in goal. But the second half and the way they approached the start of that second half was much more inclined to what we would expect from Liverpool. And more importantly, because it's the FA Cup, it was the hunger to put themselves into the next round and give them a chance of winning some silverware.
I think even the manager, though, yesterday when he was asked about the game on Tuesday, spoke about the lack of pace and intensity, and there was more speed in the way that Liverpool moved the ball in the first half, even without getting their goal.
Yeah, and I think Rio was a positive in that on the left-hand side. I mean, he was interesting with Wolves. He was left 1v1 a lot of the time, not necessarily getting as much joy as he would perhaps like, but it meant the Liverpool had an out ball on that side. They were creating chance, he had the shot, Johnson made the save, and as you say, just generally there seemed to be a lot more pace. But in the second half there's a little bit more movement in the front line to create the opportunities and the openings to obviously get those goals.
Curtis Jones likes this competition, got one against Brighton, another one tonight, he'll hope to get some in the Premier League. But beautifully taken goal, wasn't it?
It was, and I thought all three goals were fantastic today. I mean, Robbo's will be the pick of the bunch, but for Curtis to join in as well, yeah, beautiful.
The other, I guess, bonus is that when you go bang bang and then you're 2-0 up, then Liverpool actually can take it into the sort of game that Wolves made it the other night, where it's slow and it's walking pace and it almost becomes a keep ball exercise without wanting to get complacent for 20 minutes or so.
And interesting what I found was soon after the second goal, there was a little bit of that tempo taken out of it and Wolves jumped on it for a couple of minutes. But fortunately, it was only for a couple of minutes. I mean, Aliat, I think, made one save at some point, but the intensity got back in. Liverpool, again, the game was getting a little bit stretched. Wolves made substitutions to try and get something out of the match. It's a shame for Ali in the defence that Wang Hee-chan managed to score that goal right at the end. But overall, again, very controlled performance and a good win.
Do you think that the performance will give them or give the manager food for thought for what he does against Galatasaray in the first leg? Or do you think he's probably already fairly set on what he wants to do team-wise?
I would like to think that the team selection at the beginning of the game was with Galatasaray in mind as well. I know that after Tuesday there was a thought, obviously, that this could be a sticky game. But I think the Galatasaray one would have already been in the back of his mind. A lot of the players, or some of the players that started today, will not be starting against Galatasaray. Hopefully, though, again, talking about Rio, because he was the fans definitely enjoyed his performance. That will be another question that he'll have to be answering, I'm sure. But I think the food for thought is that the likes of Wirtz will start.
Ekitike will start. Right back?
I think Jeremy might start.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking there, maybe Dom. I mean, we got that one wrong, didn't we, in the build-up? But no, I think Jeremy and the players who came on will be looking to start against Galatasaray.
I think the conversation's been had a good few times recently as to what the priority is. And obviously, they want to get Champions League football through the league, want to go far in the Champions League as well. But in the FA Cup, Liverpool are now just one win from Wembley.
Winning trophies, that's what Liverpool are about. And I think, as I say, Champions League is important. A qualification for the Champions League is important. But you ask any Liverpool fans, and what I loved tonight was the Liverpool fans enjoying themselves, considering the defeat a few days ago. Liverpool fans enjoying themselves, knowing that they're through to the next round of the Cup. And as you said, an opportunity to win silverware. When people talk about your success in a club or the success of a club, it's not about just qualifying in fifth place in the league for the Champions League. It's winning trophies, and that's what the focus will be on.
Thank you very much. Safe journey home. I know you've done a lot of driving today, so maybe need a couple more coffees just to keep you going.
And it's been worth it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next stop, Turkey for Liverpool.
Thanks very much to the lads. A sterling effort down at Molineux. We did get the right back call wrong, actually, didn't we? J-Mo said there, and but both of you in the studio, yeah. Well, you weren't here, but I know that you thought Curtis would start at right back as well, and we so did Neil Mellor, who was doing pretty much.
Yeah, we all got it wrong, didn't we?
We did.
What do we know?
Not very much.
What are we doing here?
Should we speak about the goals a little bit more in depth? Because the first one, I think, you'll struggle to find a more popular goal scorer, firstly, Tomo, than Andy Robertson, and you will struggle to find an example of him hitting the ball sweeter than that as well.
No,
he
caught it absolutely perfectly, didn't he? But what I will say about Andy Robinson, I think for 7-8 years he's probably one of the best left backs in European football, and that's without doubt. I think he's a shining example to any young defender in football on how to play left back. He very rarely makes wrong decisions, and tonight he played a supporting role to Rio, but he played it really well. You know, he was guiding him, he was helping him, he was giving him the ball at the right times. And then he got his goal, and it was a fabulous strike, an absolutely fabulous strike. He won't catch one sweeter than that. But then again, he didn't rest on his laurels, and then went and got a beautiful assist as well for Mo. And I was pleased to see Mo get his goal.
Yeah, we'll speak about Mo's goal in a moment, but just on Robbo, some credit as well to Mo Salah, Cody Gakpo and Curtis Jones in the build-up, because they were all involved. But the quality of that finish just takes all the headlines, Jase.
Yeah, made up for him. He's had to deal with the disappointment of a full-back coming in, losing his place. He's been a massive part of this last 6 or 7 years. You know, there's nothing he hasn't done. We've lost big leaders, you know, in Jordan Henderson, James Milner, big personalities, and he's had to step into them shoes. He's well respected around the football club on and off it. And for him to come on tonight, you know, it was very special to see him get his goal. I think his celebration, there was a bit of frustration in there, but it was nice. But I think it was a really good decision to play him left back and not Kerkez tonight. I understand Tuesday takes some importance and there was certain players rested. But I think, like Tomo said, I think that was a big decision to play him behind Rio Engamoa tonight. Because, you know, I think for Rio Engamoa, it was a big night for him. There would have been a lot of nerves. But when you've got someone as esteemed as Robbo behind
him. Wish for better, could you?
It makes you feel better, yeah. He's got your back, you know. He's not going to leave you exposed. He's not going to go on overlap and demand it. He's gonna give the ball to you and back you up, and it's going to be about you. Robbo will play, you know, supporting role. You know, he doesn't want to be the leading actor. He'll leave that to Rio Engamo, and it was really nice to see that tonight. And Tomo's right, that left-hand side was a threat because of not just Rio Engamo, but because of the performance of Andy Robertson. So to get his goal, I actually said to you, didn't I? I don't know what was better, the strike or the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a cross, but
yeah, it was perfect.
Cross was brilliant.
It was just a lovely little fade. It was like you on the sixth at Mia.
It was reminiscent to me, Dave. Yeah.
Just what I thought as well. Should we hear what the man himself made of it? Andy Robertson is speaking with Rob Jones right now.
Well, Robbo, you quite like this place, don't you?
Yeah, it's not been a bad place for me. You know, I think on TNT they've just said that Wolves is, you know, the team I've scored most goals against. So, you know, it's obviously nice. I remember scoring quite late on a couple of years ago here. So maybe that was in the back of my mind when I decided to take it out my feet and hit it. It's, you know, probably the cleanest strike I've had since I've been here. So in such a vital time to get the leads, and you know, when the game was still 0-0 in the balance. So yeah, delighted with that, but you know, just more delighted with the win because we wanted to get through. We know this is a cup competition that means a lot to the fans, especially, and we're now into the last eight, and you know, let's see how far we can go.
And important as well to get a response from Tuesday. How much anger and frustration was there after the way you played here 3 days ago?
Yeah, look, it's obviously rare to play against the same team in the same stadium so quickly after it. Tuesday was so disappointing. You know, wasn't good enough in terms of, you know, from the very start. It was just too slow, a bit lethargic, and we wanted to put that right. And I think you've seen that from the first 5-10 minutes. I thought there was a lot more tempo, a lot more, you know, we were a lot more aggressive and things like that in our press. And we controlled the game pretty much from start to finish, I believe. And that's more pleasing, you know, especially in cup football when, you know, if you lose, you're out. If you win, you go through. And it's so important not to, you know, to put in good performances. And I think today we've done that. We're now into the last eight, and you know, let's see who we get. And we're one game away from Wembley.
Young Rio as well. I saw you talking to him, chatting him through things. But how well do you think he did ahead of you tonight?
I thought he was excellent. I thought that was his best game in a Liverpool shirt. I thought his decision making was spot on. I thought he made the right decisions: when to pass, when to play, when to take on his man, when to go to the byline. I thought he done it all tonight. And look, credit to him. He's been working so hard, and he's been listening to all of us lads as well, in training, in games, when he gets minutes. And I thought he was outstanding. I thought Trey, when he came on, was outstanding as well. These two are really, really important to the squad. You know, they're only young, but they've been growing and growing so much as the season's been going on, and we've been trying to help them as much as we can. And they're going to be two important players for the club for, you know, many, many years to come, but they're going to be important from now until the end of the season as well. And I think you've seen that today. And you know, I said to Rio before the game, I just said, look, I'll feed you the ball. It's up to you to make the right decisions. And if you do that, then you'll have a hell of a game. And I think he managed to do that. I think he listened to me, thankfully. And I thought his decision making was really good. And credit to him.
At the other end of the scale, Mo Salah, I think the manager said it a few times, that once the dam burst and he got a goal, another one would follow. And it's two in a week. And I don't think that comes as any great surprise to anyone, does it?
No, not a surprise. He's an unbelievable footballer. He just keeps going and scores goals. Scored so many goals for this football club. Carried the club on its back at times when we needed him the most. And tonight, when I've looked up and crossed, you know, there's no better man to see at the back post, kind of just waiting for you, kind of trying to find him. Luckily, I found him. And obviously, it's not probably the most complicated goal he's ever scored, but they're the ones that are so important. That's why his numbers are so high. So he obviously scored on Tuesday, but probably gets a bit forgotten about because of the result. But today, thankfully, he scored and we won the game. So, you know, unbelievable player, unbelievable servant to this football club. And he just goes and shows that again tonight.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a wonderful assist by Andy Robertson for that goal for Mo Salah that made it 2. Mo was adamant he was onside, wasn't he, when it went to VAR. VAR, which comes in, of course, in this round of the FA Cup. And he just about managed to stay behind the ball, Jace.
Yeah, I couldn't work out whether he was saying I was onside, which he wasn't. Had the ball been...
The ball, that's what he was arguing, wasn't he? Because...
But the ball came... He was behind the ball when it came in, wasn't it? So, yeah, they got it right. It would have been interesting, had this been the last round, whether that goal would have stood. I doubt it would have stood. I think they just would have given a straight offside, wouldn't they, and got it wrong again. But we had
we had the opportunity to go to VAR, and again, they took far too long, but they got it right.
It did take a while. Not the first time we've said that, Tomo. He's got 8 goals in 14 FA Cup appearances for Liverpool. More importantly, he has 2 in 2, Mo Salah. And it's the first time he's had back-to-back goals since back in November. You never think about Mo Salah and confidence, but it affects every single player, and that will be a lift for him tonight as well.
Yeah, even, you know, someone with the records of Mo Salah's got, you still, you know, you can still get a little bit of low confidence at times and overthinking. I think that's what he's been doing recently. At the gaffer called it out in the press conference the other day. Maybe he's thinking too much about, you know, where he needs to be and what he needs to do. I think before it was all instinct with Mo. Everything was always like off the cuff. His little dribbles, his little 1v1s and his little angle changes. But I think he has been overthinking it at times. But what a superb player he's been. And like Robbo's just said there, he has carried this team for a number of years and in crucial times. So, you know, he has been going through a fairly barren spell and quite poor performances compared to his standards. But I think it's important that we don't forget that that guy's an icon and an absolute legend and one of the best signings we've ever made for this football club.
No question, a legend of the club. But goal number 3 as well, we can't forget that. Curtis Jones, Curtis. Yeah, he got the assist, of course, for Robbo. Gets a goal himself. He likes a goal in the FA Cup, and this was another very sweet strike.
I love the goal in the FA Cup. It's funny, isn't it? Like how you like something and for some reason it happens, like goal scoring. I scored a few in the
Did you in the shoehorn FA Cup. That
don't,
in there?
I don't like talking about it, but like, yeah. No. Again, Curtis, it's like, I love him to bits, but do you know what he is? He's one of them. He's like a bag of McCoy's, you know, like, you just want more. You just put, like, when you come to the end, you just want a bit more. I always want more bag of McCoy's, like the beef flavour. When you run out of them, you just want more, don't you? It's just, he's moorish, but he's like, I just want him to give a bit more and more and more. But if for some reason, some of his performance, you don't get that. Tonight, it was probably a more complete performance. He gets his goal, and yeah, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. But, you know, I'm one of his biggest critics as well because I want more. And the reason I want more is because he got more. He's got everything.
Well, he showed you it there today, didn't he? You know, when you see that finish and you know the quality he's got, the little flicks, the tricks, and the bravery. I mean, I know he's been criticised this season for taking too many touches, but he's the one who's been trying to be press resistant. A lot of the other lads can't do it. He's been doing it. He's been willing to receive the ball, show that bravery and wriggle free to try to beat the press. So when you see the quality of the finish today, you know he's got it, and you think to yourself, we just want more. So Jason's right, yeah, we just want a few more beef McCoys.
This is the analysis that we pay you for, Crisps and Curtis Jones.
Curtis Jones, yeah.
Literally, so a bit of trivia for you, you ready?
You've asked me.
I've kind of asked him this
still
off
don't
air,
know.
And he's been thinking about
been,
it for a while,
it's
but
been
maybe you at home
nerves,
know the answer
know.
To this. So, with that goal, he adds himself to a list of 17 Liverpool players who have done what. You can play as well if you want.
Can you give me one of the 17?
Curtis Jones.
No, give me another one.
Well, here's a clue. So if he'd scored tonight, Dominic Szoboszlai would also be on this list.
Dominic Szoboszlai, if he'd scored tonight, he'd be on. So it's been an 18.
David's mulling it over. I feel like you've
17
not got
players
an answer for me.
That have scored against... Is it Liverpool players who've scored against Wolves in the FA Cup?
No.
That was a bit rubbish, that answer, wasn't it?
I hate these quiz. Just give us the answer.
Do you want the answer? It's not really a football-y answer. Who have scored, Liverpool players who have scored on every single day of the week?
Oh, I never have got that.
What? How's that work out?
Well, there's 7 days of the week.
Yeah.
And he scored on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, he scored. So 17 players have scored on every day of the week.
Yes.
Why do you answer it like that then? I did say to you, he scored on a Friday.
I feel like people at home probably got it. Did you get it?
He scored on a Friday, I said to you, didn't I? The clue that was given to me was Craig David. Now I get that.
Yeah, you get the clue now because you said he scored on a Friday. But we had to expand it a little bit more.
So 17 players have scored on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
Who are they?
That's pretty cool.
Well, I haven't got a list of all 17, but I know he's on it.
That's pretty cool.
And if we play again on a Friday and Dominic Szoboszlai scores, he'll be number 18, yeah.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Do you like that stat?
That's just
I wonder what days of the week he scored on.
You could tell everyone, like, I scored on every day of the week.
didn't score many, did I? So probably just a Saturday.
We'll try and find out before the end of the show.
I would have scored on a Sunday.
Definitely on a Sunday.
And midweek I would have got one. Like Tuesday or a Wednesday. Never on a Friday.
Oh, God. Let's have a look at the rest of the FA Cup fixtures this weekend before he carries on singing. Right, obviously, Liverpool have kicked off this weekend's fifth round. There's a few tasty ones, actually. Newcastle City is, that's obviously the tie of the round, if you like, all Premier League. But Arsenal go to Mansfield and you are going.
I've been invited.
Yes, he's very excited. He got a text about an hour ago and he's going to Wrexham.
Wrexham have invited
the racecourse for a Chelsea's visit. That could be a very interesting game. Chelsea, by the way, were phenomenal earlier on in the week. So against Aston Villa,
yeah,
very
they
good
could
performance.
Be not phenomenal, can't they, Chelsea?
They, won't like
they can
there.
Be. Yeah, they won't like fancy there. It, will they? Good game though.
I'm hoping for a
Mickey Thomas.
That another repeat of that. That's got to be one of the greatest upsets ever. Mm. I mean, would it be an upset? Yeah, it'd be an upset, but it's not a big one. It's not a big one. Wrexham are flying. Yeah. They could be in the Premier League next season.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got them in a friendly, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah. Stateside pre-season
tour.
Looking at those teams that are in it. David, do you see the usual suspects in the latter stages, or can you see any of those sides potentially pulling off a shock?
Yeah, obviously, depending on how they all get on in this round, but I would like to avoid Chelsea and Man City and Arsenal for this round. But there's an opportunity for us, like I was just saying to Jason, we're two games away from a final now. You know, this is real. We all love a trip down to Wembley, don't we? All get excited. So, yeah, as much as we've got one eye on the Champions League, and that's the important goal, and that's the vision for the season. But I mean, it starts getting exciting now, doesn't it?
Let's get the fan panel in on this, because I think these guys, I'm sure, they are there. There they are. Alex, are you getting excited yet? Are you daring to think about a Wembley date come May?
Oh, I love a little Wembley trip, and if I end up hosting Box Park Wembley again like the last few times, then I definitely want Jason McAteer up on that stage doing a Craig David rendition.
Deal.
If we can coax him. I don't know what your wage is these days, lad, but we can sort of something if we get there.
Yeah, you could afford me.
Bring the McCoys. Bring the McCoys as
not
well.
As much as you think, you know.
A couple of bags of McCoys, that'll do it.
I'll get the family pack.
You got yourself a deal, Alex, I think.
Let's sign that before we leave. I think two games away from Wembley, you can almost smell it. Who do the lads want in the next round? Because I'm hearing a lot of people want Everton, and that would be some tie at Anfield. But who do we fancy?
I know we don't fancy.
Obviously. You're doing Mansfield doing us a favour as well.
Mansfield, if they get through, I'll take them at Anfield.
Yeah. I'll take anyone.
Yeah, it you want to stay away from the big boys. Listen, the cup, this is where it's an element of luck in a cup, isn't it? To stay away from, you know, your biggest rivals or the strongest team that's in it. You would suggest, you know, possibly City, Newcastle could. It's difficult to see who's going to go through, isn't it? Mm. I mean, but you want the easiest game, don't you? You want the team.
The Chelsea-Wrexham one, that's not a formality tomorrow,
obviously. No. In all seriousness, I think the FA Cup, from this round on, you go and win it now. You throw everything in it. You go as strong as you can for every game. I think it's a massive part of a learning curve. This club is built on success, winning trophies, being involved in trophies. There's nothing better for a player to play in a final of a trophy. Yeah. It tells you where you are as a player and which club you're playing for. Liverpool's built on that. Its history is built on winning things. And some of the players haven't done it for Liverpool yet. There's a lot in that dressing room that have, but there's a lot of players who haven't. And I think it's a massive part of learning about the club. It's a massive part of growing as a team. It brings you back. You want to do it again. When I played in the FA Cup final, I wanted to do it again. I was desperate to do it again. And doing it for Liverpool is special. And it's why we're so special as a football club. And I think it's really important you go and win it. Go and win this cup from now.
Think we'll get the white suits out?
Yep, I'm not allowed to get mine back off Ellen Chamberlain.
Please don't. Please don't.
Oh, yeah. Stephen, it's a fair old journey for you, Wembley to Glasgow and back. But do you see yourself making that over the next couple of months? Will Liverpool be there?
I would dearly love to think that we're more than capable of doing that. You know, like it's just been said by Alex there, you can smell it. It's pretty close. I think from this point onwards, to be totally honest, that on one hand you want the easiest ties. I don't know. I take anybody. If you're going to go and win a tournament, you're going to have to beat whoever's in front of you. Yeah. So I really don't care who we get from this point on. I just want Liverpool to win. We're a club who win things. Last season was the highest of highs. This season has been tricky, for want of a better of expression. But there's still a lot of big days ahead. You know, there could be some stupendous times ahead, and you know, nothing would give me greater joy than coming down the road with my fellow supporters to see us lift the trophy. That would be absolutely phenomenal. And it's a tournament that we haven't done particularly well in the last decade or so. This is, I think, maybe only the second time that we've got to the quarterfinal. So yeah, let's go all in, you know, let's go for it.
Okay, David, Eason, I'll come to yourself. Stephen's all in. I'm sure you are yourself as well. Also, for the boss, you know, he didn't manage a Wembley win last season. I'm sure that's something that he would like to tick off his list as well.
Well, he did that thing in the Netherlands, didn't he, after he won the league the year after he won the Dutch Cup. And I think this team's actually set up for cup football. The way that they play, and I'm going to sound a bit weird now, but I love an FA Cup quarter final, a big FA Cup tie away. Even away, you can take so many more thousand fans with you, and it just makes it a cracking atmosphere to go and play in and to be part of. So I don't really mind who we get, and I think it actually might be a little bit of, if we were to get someone like Mansfield at home, okay, that would mean Arsenal are out. Positive. But I'd rather go and, you know, take several thousand fans off to City or something and go and see what we can do there. It would just make a hell of a game to get through, and you've got to beat some of these sides to get through and win this competition. So why not? I think they've got it in them. I think the quality is there, and I love a cup run. It was so rare for us to win FA Cups, and it was the first one that got us going, wasn't it, really, with Shankly in 65, and it should still mean so much to this football club, and I think it still does, certainly to the fans, and I think Jason's right with it, with the players as well. Once you get a taste of Wembley and a taste of winning shiny things come May, that's what this club is all about.
It is indeed. The draw for the next round takes place on Monday ahead of West Ham's fifth round tie with Brentford. Let's get a word from the boss now. Arne Slot speaking with Rob Jones.
Arne, was that just the response you were hoping for from Tuesday?
Yeah, definitely in terms of results. For the rest, I think everything was the same. With the slight difference that in the first half, again, we had a lot of ball possession. Again, we were not able to create a lot, but we were closer to scoring a goal, penetrating more in their box, coming closer to their goalkeeper than we were able to 3 days ago. But for the rest, there were many things the same. They had one chance and they scored. Now, positive, because last 3 days ago they had one chance and scored two. Again, they scored an extra time, but we were able to score three, and that was really, really helpful that we scored from after 50 minutes now with a 20-yard strike. That's not a big chance. That's quality of the player, which we had a lot of these shots 3 days ago. And 3 days ago, we had, after 50 minutes, a ball on the line that we were able not to score. The ball came back, again we weren't able to score, so that was a much bigger chance, and that would have opened the game up 3 days ago as well, as you could see today, that it opened up by a great strike from Robbo.
Well, let's talk more about the quality of the player who scored the first and set up the second. He probably hasn't played as much as he would want this season, but what a character to have around when you need him in big moments.
Yeah. That is one of the few positions where there's a lot of competition. If everybody was fit, we would have had that in a lot of other positions as well. But these two, Milos and Robbo, have been fit, I think, throughout the whole season. So, yeah, there's a lot of competition in that position. Great goal, great assist. Twice, also a good role of Cody Gakpo, who played as a nine today, and twice had a role in the goal scored. And Mo scored the second one. He wasn't offside, and immediately when the linesman raised his flag, I questioned him, because Mo has a lot of qualities, but one of his biggest qualities is probably that he's hardly ever offside. He times his runs really well. And he was right, I was right, because the VAR had to interfere. Which is good, because was this the first round there was VAR? Yeah, no, there you go. It's always nice for an away team to have a VAR.
You mentioned Mo and Cody. What about the young man who completed the front three, Rio, today?
Played well. 3 days ago he came in, he had some good moments, but he also lost a few times the ball, which is normal, because in football you can lose a ball. But today he was even more, he was still that big threat, but kept the ball better. And yeah, it's special if you're 17 and you can impact a Premier League game. I know it was a FA Cup, but two Premier League sides playing against each other. And you're able to impact it because he has that special quality that not a lot of players have in modern times, and that's taking a 1v1 on. And that's what he showed today. Of course, helpful that they played with five at the back, so defensively, you, as a winger, you don't have to do as much compared to if you play against the four at the back, because then you have to follow your fullback all the time. So yeah, overall, impressive performance from a 17-year-old.
Just finally, the reasons for needing to be in the Champions League are obvious, but there is still something special about the FA Cup, and now you are one win from Wembley.
Yeah, I always knew that the FA Cup was special, and the players, but definitely also the fans, reminded me to that tonight, because 3 days ago we were disappointed, but they were probably just as disappointed, or even more than us. I'm not sure that's possible. But they showed up again, and not with the same amount, but even more, because we had even more tickets, and that tells a lot about our fans, but it tells also how much FA Cup means in this country, but also definitely for this club.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thoughts of happy Arne Slot tonight with what he has seen from his side down at Molineux. We are coming to the end of the show, a few minutes left. Just time to squeeze in a little chat about what awaits next, which is, of course, Galatasaray away on Tuesday night. We'll go back to our fan panel. Alex, this maybe might not have been top of Liverpool's wish list when the draw was made, but it is a return to the team that beat us back in September 1-0. What are your thoughts on this draw?
Yeah, listen, I think atmosphere-wise, it's probably one you wanted to avoid. Yes, you know, Liverpool in knockout stages in the Champions League haven't been actually as imperious as we think, especially the home leg. So the guess is go out there and win the first leg, obviously. Try and do it comfortably so you have more of a bigger atmosphere coming to Anfield. And they don't have away fans for that second leg. So comfy 2-0 win away, and then we finish it off with a 3-1 win at home up the Reds. Here we go, number seven.
That sounds very, very comfortable. Makes it sound relatively straightforward, Stephen.
Do that, it'd be right.
Yeah, absolutely. I admire the confidence, and I'm very much hopeful for the same outcome. I personally was hugely frustrated by our game against Galatasaray in the group phase. I think we can learn an awful lot from that. I know it was a stupid mistake that ended up costing the goal in the first instance. So if we can just stay calm, stay focused, manage your first 45 a little bit better, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, David Easton, the second leg being at Anfield, of course, is absolutely massive, isn't it? But what are you expecting from this game on Tuesday, firstly, and then the tie overall? How confident are you?
Yeah, I would like a nice, solid European away performance. Get in there, get out, 1-2-0, that'd be nice. I'd take the draw, that'd be fine. I saw the way that they played against Juventus, which was a chaotic game of football, when they were, Juventus were down to 10 and they were 5-2 up, and that you can definitely get at them. They've got some good players. They've got some players that we've seen in the past as well. But I think we should have more than enough for them. We've just got to get through that first game and then get them back to Anfield.
Let's quickly take a look at what happened back in September, and seems like quite a long time ago now. This, it was a tale of two penalties on the night, Jason, one given, one overturned. But Liverpool had the fair share of chances in this match, 16 shots, three big chances fell their way as well.
Yeah, it's a fixture that needs a lot of respect, and, you know, to your opponents. They're so unpredictable, and, you know, the way chaotic was used there. If you get wrapped up in a chaotic game against Juventus, you'll get punished. That's what they want it to be. The crowd demand it. You know, it's a very, very difficult place to play, Turkey. I played there a few times. It's intimidating. It's, it's hostile. And you've got to manage that as well as your performance.
The pitch isn't the best.
Does the fact they've done it relatively recently help, though?
It will.
Yeah.
It will. That experience is invaluable. It will. But it's about what we've mentioned tonight. It's game management. You don't want the 20 minutes we had against Wolves on Tuesday. You don't want to play like that against Galatasaray.
Yeah.
Because as Stu Wright pointed out there, Juventus just got punished second half, and it was 5-2, and Juventus were out the tie. It's a tough one. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, no, tough place to go. It's like Jason said, I had to lower the TV down last time I was watching that. It was hurting my ears. It was that bad. So, when they've got real quality across the pitch, they've got a real quality, a real positive goal difference as well. So, they've got goals from all across midfield and in the striker departments as well. So, they're no mugs. I know it's an easy league and they're running away with it over there, but... Yeah, it's going to be a difficult place to go. Mm. So if we go over there and just come back with our coat on, I'll be dead happy.
Good way to finish the show. Thank you very much, Tommy. That is it from myself, Jason, who scored on Saturday, Sunday and Monday. There you go. We found out in the end. And David, of course, and to our fans as well with us on the big screen. A big thanks for all your contributions as well tonight, guys. That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back late on Tuesday night after Liverpool's trip to take on Galatasaray in the Champions League round of 16. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye for now.